time now for Swiss Up with Dario. Hello, Dario.
Hello, Mark.
Now, Dario, we're going to take a look ahead to Sunday, because Sunday is a big voting day. The Swiss electorate will vote on a series of five federal issues and many cantonal and communal ones. In the past weeks, we've had a look at the two of them, anti-pesticide initiatives and a referendum against the new federal act on police measures to combat terrorism. And now in this week's Swiss Up, we're looking at the remaining two federal issues, the CO2 Act and the COVID-19 Act. And we'll start with the referendum now for the CO2 Act. It's a referendum against it. What is this all about then, Dario, for the CO2 law?
Well, the planet is heating up and Switzerland is no exception. Quite the contrary, actually. Switzerland is heating up at twice the rate of the global average. And in 2015, Switzerland signed the Paris Agreement and therefore committed to cutting its CO2 emissions in half by 2030 when compared to 1990. To reach that goal, the Federal Council and the Parliament have completely revised the CO2 Act to further reinforce Switzerland's current climate policy.
Okay, so what are they proposing in this new CO2 law?
Well, the CO2 Act contains a range of measures that in their essence aim to encourage climate-friendly behavior and discourage activities that emit a lot of CO2. A few measures already existed in the previous Act. For example, there are financial incentives for people who use wood pellets or heat pumps to heat their houses rather than gas or oil. The new law proposes to make it even less attractive to use gas or oil to heat your house. Another measure concerns flights. The new CO2 Act would introduce a tax of anywhere between 30 and 120 francs on all flights out of Switzerland. So flying would become a bit more expensive for Swiss people, or people flying out of Switzerland for that matter.
Okay, so the government's going to be raising a bit of money out of all of that tax. So what happens to that cash?
Well, part of it would be redistributed, actually, to the whole population through health insurance bonuses, basically. And part of it would feed a climate fund that would be used to finance ecological investments, such as building more charging stations for electric vehicles and promoting innovative businesses that help reduce CO2 emissions. So for the government, the new law would not only allow to reduce CO2 emissions, but it would also help create new jobs in innovative sectors and reduce Switzerland's dependency on foreign petrol companies.
Okay, now, correct me if I'm wrong here, Dario. What I understand is that Parliament has passed this law, but now we've got a referendum against it. So why are people against it, I think? Because it seems to unite different sides of the spectrum here.
Yes, well, this is an interesting case. There's actually not only one, but two referendum committees that have formed to combat the law. On the far right, you have the Swiss People's Party, who combat it because they think the law goes too far and that Switzerland already does enough to protect the environment. Also, that Switzerland is too small a country to really have an effect on the global environment, and that China and the US should do their part to reduce CO2 emissions. So there's nothing new under the sun there. What might be more surprising is that there is also a far left-wing referendum committee composed mostly of the climate youth sections in Swiss Romande, who combat the new law because in their eyes it is a smokescreen and doesn't go far enough. They criticize, for example, that the law does not at all affect the financial institutions and their foreign investments in fossil fuel, for example. So we have a beautiful example. What I don't know if this is something you also call like that in English, but in German, that's called an unholy alliance. So this is a beautiful example of an unholy alliance in Swiss politics, of the two political extremes combating the same law, but for very different reasons.
Yeah, but it strikes me, or those on the left who don't think it goes far enough, if they're victorious in their referendum battle, then they don't get anything.
Yes. Yeah. Well, they hope that then a more an even more consequential CO2 act would be voted in, but that's very unlikely. But it's also important to say, but that it's a small fraction of activists on the very far left, like official statements of the Green Party or the Socialist Party, actually goes in the direction of accepting this CO2 act.
Okay, we'll have a look at what the polls say about that in just a moment, because we'll move on to the other one. There's the final federal issue that will be voted on Sunday. This is the COVID-19 Act. Now, of course, when the pandemic hit, the government made a lot of, in some cases, highly controversial decisions on how we should be running our lives from now on in. This is actually the whole, let's say, government-making decision process is now up with a vote as well.
Yes, so because when the coronavirus arrived in Switzerland, the Federal Council had to take swift measures to protect the population and to financially support people and businesses suffering the economic consequences of the pandemic, the government sometimes had to use emergency legislation. And this is permitted by the Constitution, but only for a limited amount of time. And now, because the crisis lasted and the government and the parliament drew up a COVID-19 Act to be able to continue taking measures to fight the pandemic. Last September, the parliament approved this act, and because it was declared a matter of urgency, it became into force immediately. But then a referendum was called on the issue. Several citizens' committees, including the so-called Friends of the Constitution, collected the necessary 50,000 signatures to call for a referendum. According to them, the COVID-19 law gives unnecessary powers to the government.
Okay, well, let's look at that law. What exactly does it say?
Well, first of all, it's important to note that not all measures that were taken since the beginning of the pandemic are in this law. Some measures did not require any additional law to be voted into force. The closing of stores, for example, and restaurants, or the obligation to wear masks in certain areas, for example, are not regulated by this law. So those are measures that could still be taken by the government, even if the law was rejected by the population. However, the law does grant the government the competencies to define certain criteria under which COVID-19 measures could be relaxed. So it's actually a bit of the opposite. It's more like, yeah, relaxing measures that are in this law.
Okay, but a lot of this law is all about money, isn't it?
Yes, the law mainly concerns economic aid. The government distributed financial aid to companies and restaurants in financial difficulties. It financed partial unemployment schemes, sports clubs, cultural institutions, the media, and many more. The COVID-19 Act makes all of this possible from a legal standpoint. So it basically just, yeah, creates the law that is necessary, because some of this money was distributed before there was actually this legal base to it.
Okay, so why would anyone be against it? I mean, you know, handing out money to people hard hit by the pandemic.
Well, the opponents to the law, for the most part, are not necessarily against this aid, but they think it should be voted in apart and not packaged together with the other elements concerning the COVID-19 measures. Okay. So they think it's just not done in the right order.
Okay, now we always like to end with taking a look at the polls. So let's take a look at the polls for about these two votes. So we'll go back to the CO2 law. What do we see here with the polls?
Well, the last polls actually before the vote published last week show that the CO2 law has a short majority of about 54% of voters, meaning 54% of voters polled were favorable to the new CO2 Act. So it's sort of a close call. We're still not quite sure where this one might go.
I understand that. Yeah.
And then the COVID-19 Act has quite a high approval rate of 64%, meaning that it's quite likely that we will see this law pass as proposed by the government and the parliament. So people not following what the referendum is suggesting, but going with what the government and the parliament have already voted in September.
Okay, so so with these two laws, for those people in favour of those laws, they have to vote no against the referendum. That's the way it'll work, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. I would say, actually, with that CO2 law, I do know that 54% currently in favour of that law. That has dropped, though, in the last few weeks, because I know there was some concern about people putting that the CO2 law together on the same ballot as the pesticide drinking water initiative, which we've also discussed in previous weeks. Putting it together means that some people suggest that it's affecting the way that each of those votes may, in fact, turn out on Sunday. So anyway, we'll have to wait and see. It's going to be a close-run thing, I think, isn't it, that CO2 law, certainly?
Yes. Yeah, that could be a close one.
Could be close. Anyway, of course, just to let you know, on Monday, we'll have Dario back with us, and we'll be discussing the details of the results of that vote on Monday morning. So, Dario, thank you very much indeed. That was Dario there with Swiss Up. If you want to hear that episode again and others in the series, you can always do so on our website, worldradio.ch/SwissUp.